Hey, good morning, church. Welcome to South Lansing Christian Church. My name is Frank. I'm the preacher here, and we're just delighted that you're here with us today. Did you have a good Christmas? Yeah? It's been a weird week, I think, that week between Christmas and New Year's where your schedule just gets all kind of cattywampus, and you find yourself maybe staying up too late or sleeping in too long, and then you're at work, and then you're off work, and so just kind of a weird week. And so for me, a lot of what I did was, watch some television and fiddle around and watch, some internet and things like that, look through the internet. But I found this story this morning that I need to share with you because it was a troubling story, I thought, and you need to know about this. The headline is, "Local Woman Stuck in Endless Lather, Rinse, Repeat, Recursive Hair Washing Cycle." They didn't think it was funny first service either, but here it goes. This comes from Sherbrooke, Quebec. So some of our Canadian friends to the north, this apparently it's not all good news and roses up north either. They have some issues. Apparently this is one. So here's the story. You ready? "Closely following the instructions on a bottle of Garnier Fructis Volume Extend Fortifying Shampoo that reads, 'Lather, rinse, repeat,' a local woman is stuck in a never-ending hair washing loop in which she remains indefinitely. Nancy Ellison, a 29-year-old project manager, was last seen going into her bathroom to take a shower yesterday morning. 'I was just leaving for work,' explained her husband, Chuck. 'I said goodbye to her right before she closed the shower curtain. Little did I know it'd be the last time I'd ever see her not washing her hair.' Ellison finished the first bottle yesterday around 8 p.m. local time and is now on her fifth since the shower began. 'These new bottles have complicated matters as they have each given rise to their own lather, rinse, repeat loops within the original loop. This has resulted in a recursive process from which she will never emerge,' explains Stanford computer scientist Benoit Lachon. The self-referential algorithm is by definition unbreakable and will continue until the end of time itself, said Lachon. 'This is why I don't wash my hair.' Garnier spokesperson Jeremy Cheever praised Ellison for being the first person to use their product correctly. 'Most bathers don't even repeat the process once, let alone an infinite number of times as prescribed,' says Cheevers in a statement on Monday. 'We commend Ms. Ellison for her dedication and are confident she will be pleased with the resulting shine and bounce her hair will have immediately after the universe ends.' Ms. Ellison, although not directly available for comment, is reportedly in good spirits, according to her husband, who has been delivering her food, news updates, and a constant supply of shampoo. 'It's not exactly what we'd planned for, but we're going to make it work,' said Ellison's husband, Chuck. 'This is our life now.'" Important news, you heard it here. Lather, rinse, repeat. Some people have called that the shampoo algorithm, which I think is an interesting title for it, the shampoo algorithm. And it has me thinking, what if we would apply the things that we've learned the past month the same way? What if we would apply that shampoo algorithm, lather, rinse, repeat, to the things we've learned during this series, Christmas for Lansing? If it's your first time here today, we've been in a series all month long called Christmas for Lansing, and our goal has been to make this Christmas for Lansing the best ever in the places where we live, work, and go to school. We've asked ourselves, how can we just be a blessing to the people around us? How can we make this Christmas really special? And so what we're going to do today is we're just going to kind of take a look back from this past month at the 4 weeks of this series and summarize each of those lessons with the idea that if we'll continue to do those in 2019, we'll make the world a better place. We gave you all month long 30 ways in 30 days that you could make this a great Christmas. Imagine what would happen if we would make them 365 days in 2019. Week one, 4 weeks ago, we looked at the idea of God's presence. And we said that one of the ways we can reflect God's desire to be present to us is for us to be present to Him and present to others. And we use that word qualifier, fully present. What will it take for us to be fully present to God and fully present to others? You see, it's God's intention that He experience intimacy with His children. God wants to be intimately connected to you and me. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus. You see, originally, God was intimate. He was fully connected with His people, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. But sin messed that up. And after Adam and Eve sinned, they were expelled from the garden. And immediately, God went to work finding a way to reconcile humanity to Himself. God wants to live in an intimate relationship with His people. Through the prophet Ezekiel, God said this, His desire for our future: "My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, or rather that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever." That's what God wants for us. That's why He sent Jesus, so we could know who God is and live in intimacy with Him. And a day is coming when we're going to be with God forever. Wally sang about that this morning, where we'll be with God around the throne, singing holy, holy, holy with Him, intimate, face to face, forever. And the way we reflect God's desire to be present to us is when we're fully present to Him and fully present to others. One of the ways we can do that, and we talked about this here in December, we suggested that you begin an Advent reading plan, that you daily spend time in God's Word, that you set aside some time just for you and God to be in the Word of God, in Scripture, connected with Him. What would happen if you do that in 2019? Not just a Christmas thing, not just an Advent thing, but what would happen if you'd say, okay, this year, this coming year, I'm going to spend time with God every day in His Word. Imagine the level of intimacy that you'll experience as you focus on God and spending time with God every single day. I'm convinced it can make a difference in your life. The second week, week two, we challenge you to be the person of peace wherever God has planted you. We looked at the children of Israel who'd been exiled from Judea to the land of Babylon. Remember, we talked about how the Babylonians swept down from the north and invaded Israel. They sacked Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and they carried off many of the Jews back into captivity in Babylon. The prophet Jeremiah wrote to those exiles, and he communicated just what God wanted for them and from them while they lived in exile. And one of the things that must have surprised those Jewish exiles was what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 29, verse 7. God, through the prophet Jeremiah, said, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." This is important for us because we need to understand that as followers of Jesus, we too are exiles of a sort. If you're a follower of Jesus, that means that you're a citizen of heaven. Heaven is your home. It's where you're going to be eventually. And as a follower of Jesus, you need to understand what it means for us to live as exiles in this place. How can we reflect that kind of attitude in our lives? And I think Jeremiah would say, we need to be people of peace wherever God has planted us. And Jeremiah suggested the way you could be, he said, Jewish exiles, the way you can be people of peace is to pray for the city where I have planted you. We can do that too. We suggested that this month you pray for some people, that you let them know you're praying for them. We suggested that this month you could become known as the person of prayer in your workplace, that whatever anybody else knows about you, they know that if there's something that they have that's burdening them, that they need someone to pray about, they can come to you. Your classmates know, whatever else your classmates might know about you, they can come to you and know that you will pray to God for them on their behalf. Your neighbors know that you're the go-to person in your neighborhood when they need prayer. They can come to you. You and I can be those people of peace in the places where God has planted us. And if you'll do that, not just at Christmas time, but in 2019, I'm convinced that the places where God has planted you will prosper. That if you'll be a person of peace in your workplace will prosper. If you'll be a person of peace in your home will, it'll just be better because you're a person of prayer. 2 weeks ago, we looked at this concept of light. Remember, we were in John chapter 1. We talked about how Jesus is the light of the world. In fact, Jesus said that about himself later on in the Gospel of John. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever walks in me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light that is the life of man. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. John recorded it in his gospel. But it's interesting, Jesus uses the same language to say that you and I are the light of the world. Matthew recorded this in his biography of Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, which is from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 verses 14 through 16. Jesus says, and he's talking to his followers now, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus brought light to a dark world. And the way you and I reflect him is by bringing light to the dark spaces of our world too. Jesus said, when you do good, people will notice your good works, your good deeds, and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. And so we encourage you all month long to find ways to do good. In fact, we even suggested that you send Christmas cards, that you sort of revive that old tradition of sending cards to people. We even provided you with some cards that you could send so you could reconnect with someone that maybe you haven't touched base with in years. And I know a lot of you did that. We had 500 some cars that were sent out as a result of that. What would happen if you just continue to do the same thing in 2019? You'd just apply that shampoo algorithm. You'd just continue. You'd repeat that over and over. You'd ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you someone that you've not connected with in a while, that maybe you can reach out and brighten their world and then just send them a note. I'm convinced we can make the world a brighter place. We could be people of light. People would see your good works and they would glorify your Father in heaven simply by being people of the light. And then last week, we looked at the idea of God's love. And we challenge you not just to say, I love you, but to show I love you. One of Jesus' first followers, John, we've talked about him already, but he wrote three letters to the very first Christians, some of the very first Christians. We have them in our Bible. They're back towards the maps. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, right? These letters. And he's the same John who wrote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Same guy wrote 1 John 3:16 through 18. And this is important because it tells us how we are to love. John said, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. You see, the bottom line, John says, is don't just say I love you. Show I love you. There are an infinite number of ways to do that. We looked at five kind of ways we can do that last week, five categories when we looked at Gary Chapman's The Five Love Languages. We said, you know what? You can show your love to someone through your words of affirmation, by speaking words of encouragement, by affirming them. That shows your love to someone. You can show your love to someone by doing acts of service, just serving one another. And when you serve one another, you're communicating your love. You're not just saying, I love you, but you're showing I love you. You can show your love to one another when you offer safe touches, right? You embrace someone, a hand on a shoulder, a firm handshake. Just that simple touch can communicate, I love you to someone. You can communicate, I love you by just spending time with someone, offering yourself in that quality time, or by giving a gift to someone, you can communicate, I love you. We live in a world where the words I love you are bandied about so frequently that people sometimes overlook that actions matter more than words. And to that, John says, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. And what if we would take these things that we've practiced in the month of December, and again, we'd apply that shampoo algorithm to them. Rinse, lather, lather, rinse, repeat. It's one of those. Rinse, lather, yeah. What if we just do that over and over and over again in 2019? I'm convinced we'd make the world a better place. I'm convinced that if you were fully present to God and others, and that was something you focused on every single day, your love for God and your relationship with God would grow exponentially. I'm convinced that if you would become the person of peace wherever God's planted you, in your workplace, in your classroom, where you live, that would become a better place because you're doing that over and over and over again. I'm convinced that if you'd let your light shine before others so that they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, that the world would become a brighter place. And man, if there's anything our dark world needs, it's to be more brightly lit. I'm convinced if you'd go beyond just saying I love you to showing I love you, the world would be a better place. If you do these things over and over and over again, not just every December, not just something we did at Christmas time, if you'd carry them into 2019 and do them over and over and over again, you could change the world. Or at the very least, your little corner of the world. One of the things I love about this last month and this Christmas for Lansing series is that Jesus has been right at the center of everything we've talked about. Jesus has been right in the middle of it. Jesus, we talked about as the light of the world. Jesus as this amazing gift from our Father in heaven. Jesus who came to earth so that we could experience intimacy with God. Jesus who didn't just say I loved you, but showed I love you when he went to the cross for you and me. Jesus has been at the center of this last month. And friends, Jesus is at the center of what we do today. We're going to spend just a few moments this morning reflecting on Jesus' sacrifice, his gift of life for you and me, when he went to the cross so that you and I could experience forgiveness and be reconciled to God. And the way we do that at South, if you're here for the first time, Wally's going to lead us in a couple songs, and you'll just have the opportunity to get up with your family, your small group, or by yourself and go to one of these five tables with the crimson tablecloths and just spend some time, just you and God, reflecting through the bread on Jesus' broken body as you drink the juice, reflecting on Jesus' blood that was spilled for you. Let's pray. We're going to stand and we'll pray, and then we invite you to come and receive this gift. God, we thank you for everything we've learned this month, and we thank you for the challenges that have been put before us in that we find ways to make our world better, to make Christmas a better, Lansing a better place through Christmas. But God, now as we turn the page to 2019, I pray, Lord, that that wouldn't be something we leave behind, but that we would carry these things into the new year, that we'd light our world, that we would be good gifts, that we would be present to you and to others. And I pray, God, as we do these things over and over and over again, that you would change our world, that you would change us, Lord, so that we reflect your Son Jesus more. And so as people see our good deeds, they glorify you. We thank you for Jesus and his sacrifice for us. We celebrate it right now. In his name we pray. Amen.